Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and they became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly, tell the disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, go to Galilee. They will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Jo. Can I just say, there's some beautiful Easter hats around the place. Excellent hat making there. Hattage is a new word. I decided to make it up today. Excellent hattage. There's some brilliant dancing at the front, some spinning. I think you probably need to sit down for a moment now, because I was afraid that one of you was going to fall into somebody else. But it was awesome, brilliant dancing there from the front. And isn't it good to be together to worship this morning? It's wonderful, actually, hearing all your voices from behind. That's the beauty of standing at the front, is you get to hear all the voices from behind. If you ever never sat at the front, have a go one day. That's not me saying don't be an Anglican or anything like that, but have a go at sitting nearer the front, because what you'll do is you'll just hear this wall of sound of people worshipping. It is awesome. Let's pray before we go any further, though. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special day. And as we think briefly now about what this day means for us, I ask that you would help us to hear your voice this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just try it again. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Excellent. That's good. Just checking you're all awake. So I wonder, has anyone else got involved in the craze that I might have ended up getting myself sucked into, maybe a few others? If we could have the first slide up, that'd be great. Anyone recognise what this might be? Has anyone else had a go at Wordle? Wordle. It's fun. If you're not sure what it is, it's basically guessing a five-letter word, but you get six attempts. And when a word has a letter that's green in it, that means that letter's in the right place. If it's yellow, it's right letter, but not in the right place. Did you know there are lots of different versions of Wordle, though? I can't pronounce this one very well. There's Worldle, which is basically where you can look at an outline of a country and you've got to guess in six goes what the country is. Some of them are really difficult. There's also Quordle, which is four words that you've got to guess, four five-letter words. There's Octordle, which is five-letter words. There's Nerdle, which is maths-related. There's Prayerdle, which is Christian words. And then for the very niche amongst us, the musos, there's Birdle, B-Y-R-D-L-E, for those of you who have heard of William Byrd. He's a composer of lots of choral music, and so all the answers are related to choral music. I've got a music degree, I've got one of those ever. That's how hard it is. But there's loads and loads of different ones, but we are thinking about the original, the Wordle, this morning. In fact, and I apologise for this pun, we are thinking of the Wordle who became flesh. This morning. Yes, I did just do that. We are going to think about the best five-letter word in history. Anyone guess what that word might be? And I'm sorry, there's no Easter egg for this because I've just eaten it. I was a little hungry. Anyone guess what it is? What do you think it is? Yes, it's Jesus. Well done. Very good. So we're going to think about, obviously, we're going to think about Jesus, the best five-letter word there is. But we're not going to start with the name Jesus. We're going to finish with the name Jesus. We're going to start at the beginning of his life, with his birth. On Friday, those of us who are here, we thought about creation. We thought about the fact that creation is good, that God made the world that we live in. Some of us tried to make flowers out of tissue paper and pipe cleaners, and we discovered how difficult that was. And I don't know about you, if you were here, it made me even more in awe of God as our creator in the way that he has made everything. But we also learnt that sin entered the world, those things that we do or say or think that break up the relationship between us and God. And we thought about a verse from John chapter 3, verse 16. If you were here, you can join in with the actions if you want. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. There we go. We learnt John chapter 3, verse 16. We thought about the fact that Jesus is a little bit like this zip, that we're on one side and God's on the other, and that Jesus dying on the cross made it possible for us to be in relationship with him. And Jesus was born to do just that. So what did he do? Well, the first thing we think about is that he walked on this earth. He came and lived on this earth, literally walking, talking, healing. He came to walk with us, to show us the best life, the best way to live, to show us the way to the Father. But we also found out that some didn't like that, so they nailed him to a cross. And it looked like it was the end. But of course, the cross is not the end. And actually, we need the resurrection to happen. Jesus came alive. Now, actually, alive is not our next five-letter word because it doesn't fit in. But it's a really good word, another really good five-letter word. Instead, we have the word saves. Jesus coming alive enabled us to be saved from the impact of sin, from the impact of death, by showing that it wasn't the end, from all that the enemy tries to do because Jesus defeated evil. In the resurrection, Jesus saves us, enables those of us who put our trust and faith in him to know what is to come, to know forgiveness and freedom and hope. But it doesn't end there, because the next word reminds us that Jesus seeks us. A few weeks ago, we were reminded that Jesus is the good shepherd. And we think about those words that Jesus gave about the shepherd who went after the one sheep that was lost when the other 99 were there. Jesus seeks each one of us like that. He seeks you like that. I wonder if you allowed him to find you. So it doesn't stop at the cross, because that would be a sad ending. We need the resurrection. We need Jesus coming alive again so that he could save us. And if we think about that first Easter Sunday, that day that Joe read about to us, we read in that story that the women were seeking Jesus. They were looking for Jesus in a tomb. But he wasn't there because he was alive. And on that first Easter morning, when they met him, they were overjoyed. They even got hold of his feet, didn't they? They didn't want to let go of him again. They wanted to be with him. And of course, they went to tell everyone what had happened. I doubt that they knew quite what to make of it all, really. But they knew they had to tell the others about the most important five-letter word, and that is, of course, Jesus. This five-letter word, Jesus, it's not just a word. It is the name of one who was born for us, who walked on the earth for us, who died for us, who rose again for us, who saves us and seeks us. Not just a five-letter word, is it? Because Jesus is the reason we are here today. In fact, today is the reason that we're here. Today is the reason that we worship Jesus. Today is the reason that we can have freedom and hope. Today is the reason that we can be saved. 2,000 years ago, for a couple of days, you could say that it was thought that the cross would be the only five-letter word that would be remembered. But Jesus came alive. And because of that, surely we need to come to him and thank him with all of our lives, to seek him as he seeks us. And I wonder whether actually in the last couple of years, in these really hard 2 years of this pandemic, some of us have found ourselves being in a sort of metaphorical tomb that we've hidden away. We've not been sure what to do with ourselves, what to think of everything. Well, maybe today is a day to come alive. Maybe today is a day to say, yes, Jesus, I believe in you. Maybe today could be a day when we recommit ourselves to Jesus or to commit ourselves for the first time. Because Jesus committed himself to us. When I was trying to think of a five-letter word for commit, it suddenly dawned on me that the words faith and trust both have five letters. Don't know why it took me that long, but never mind. And if we think about it, those two words demonstrate commitment, don't they? Faith and trust. Trusting in Jesus. So this Resurrection Sunday, as we join in with those disciples, as they came with awe and wonder at what Jesus had done, as they came to be astonished that Jesus was alive, I want to encourage each one of us this morning to join with them in faith and in trust. Because Jesus is not just a five-letter word. He is the best word, the best name that we can have on our lips. Amen.